We made this.
You're listening to Piggydisc's Best of 2020. Number 2, Biba Doobie with Fake It Flowers. From the same label as Rina Sawayama, Biba Doobie decides to venture into the 90s to create her sound. So where Rina Sawayama goes for the R&B pop of the noughties, Beatrice Loss, better known as Biba Doobie professionally, goes for the shoegaze rock of the Liz Phair and the Alanis Morissette variety. Listening to indie rock like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and Alex G when she was younger, she started to play guitar at the age of 17 and was inspired by soundtracks of films like Juno. So after releasing a few EPs, she was listed alongside Billie Eilish in the NME's 2019 Essential New Artist list. She also supported the 1975 on the UK leg of their tour, but due to COVID-19, wasn't able to support on the Northern American section of the tour because it was postponed.
Hiya Matt, and hello to everyone listening to Piggydisc, the Christmas special. My name's Mark Adams, and I was on the podcast earlier this year, around April I think, talking about The Fat of the Land by The Prodigy. Matt's asked me to talk about my favourite album of the year, and I didn't think that I'd actually listened to any new music this year. I had to really think about it because, unfortunately, as I regularly joke, my music taste retired in about 2003. And I kind of like what I like when I like it, so I see myself as a rocker, but really, I listen to loads of stuff. And literally, the only two albums, I went through my Spotify, the only two albums that I have actually listened to that were released in 2020, the first one was Diamonds by The Birthday Massacre, and I really like The Birthday Massacre. They're just indulgent electro-goth fun, and I listen to more Birthday Massacre than I'd perhaps like to admit. Yeah, they're regularly played on my Spotify when I'm not listening to podcasts. And I think it's a strong album. It opens with an absolute banger called Enter, and there are plenty of bangers on there. But what I think is odd when it comes to my music listening now is because I don't really listen to singles or even know what the singles are on albums, I always wonder whether or not the songs that I like are the ones that were released as singles, you know? I think my favourite track on the album is The Last Goodbye, and it's just so gothy, electric-y goodness that I like. Can't really give you much more than that. And the other one, I was pleasantly surprised a couple of months ago to discover that Space are back together. One of my favourite bands from when I was a kid, late teens. You know, they were very famous at one point when they did Spiders and Tin Planet. Those two were monster hits. And then they kind of faded away. At one point, I don't even know how true this is. At one point, I was told that the guy had lost his voice or something. But he hasn't, and he's back. And they released an album called Suburban Rock and Roll. The album opens with the title track, and it basically makes the following statement. Hello, this is Space, and we haven't changed at all since the 90s. And then the rest of the album confirms that. In my head, this album could have been released in 1999, 2001, something like that, and it would have fit the music of the time. And a lot of my bands that I am still into from that time are guilty of this. And I say guilty, but I don't think it's a problem. If people want that kind of music that's dated, but they like it, and if it sells, why the fuck not? And yeah, this album even went as far as being a bit top-heavy, like Tin Planet and like Spiders were in the 90s. And it was just a really authentic Space feel. And I can dig that. I can definitely dig that. One thing I did notice, though, was that they didn't have the weird dance track at the end. Tin Planet had Fran in Japan, and Spiders had Growler, which were two odd, vocal-less dance tracks that they just put as the last track of the album. They didn't do that with Suburban Rock and Roll, and I'll be honest, I was a little bit disappointed. But, that being said, the rest of the album was great. Nothing really stood out as a banger like perhaps Avenging Angels did on Tin Planet or Female of the Species did on Spiders. But I just sat there and quite enjoyed. It was a brand new album that made me feel nostalgic. So yeah, I quite enjoyed that. Thanks, Matt. Merry Christmas, mate. And Merry Christmas to everybody listening in on Pick a Disc.
So there's a lot of buzz leading up to Biba Doobie's album, but I hadn't really listened to her stuff beforehand, but like Best Coast mentioned a couple of days ago, I wish I did. There's a lot of buzz leading up to Biba Doobie's album, but I hadn't really listened to her stuff beforehand. But, like Best Coast, I wish I did, as this is scratching that shoegazy lo-fi rock that I really like. It's filling the void of a similar hole in my musical soul that's waiting for more Wolf Alice to be announced. Vacant Flowers is a collection of songs she wrote when she was 17 and whilst recording the album. It covers a lot of her life while wrapped within its 90s movie soundtrack scope of sound. Opening with the absolutely ace grudge popper banger in the form of Care, it pretty much sets you up for the rest of the album. The press release states it has an end of a 90s movie vibe, and I completely agree. This feels as if it was passed around a high school in 1993. It's a song about being angry but not really caring about it, and this vibe continues with Worth It, which feels it's on about an emotional affair that's on the brink of happening, but common sense apparently taking control and it not actually happening. See, now this album feels like it's a teenage drama of songs, so it's kind of like if Skins was set in the 90s, so a hybrid of Skins in my so-called life. Now, I remember years ago someone writing off teenage drama from all sorts of sources of being trivial nonsense, and that's a viewpoint that I don't really subscribe to. I believe that people can and will relate to things in teenage drama. You might not relate to the kind of now or the setting if it's a modern day one, but there are genuine issues and stories that someone will relate to, or at least remember something similar. Vacant Flowers does feel like it's rooted in a 19 teenage drama, with songs like Sorry reflecting on bad decisions and broken relationships that anyone from any age can relate to, particularly with hindsight. This idea carries on with the song Further Away, which even I can relate to many years after I left my teenage years. Bieber Doobie said the following about that song. Further Away is just kind of me talking about the people who are always mean to me in school. People mean to me in general, kind of me accepting the fact they're never going to understand me. And I feel like I had to grow into knowing that no one's ever going to know who I am, and I'm completely fine with that, you know? I think no one's ever going to know who you are unless they actually know you. And this idea of having to accept that you're not going to be liked or understood by people is completely universal, and it's done really well here, and I'd be surprised if no one can associate themselves with something that like that or with that feeling, because it's something that kind of hit a few. Like emotional connections with me when I was listening to it. There's a consistent quality throughout this album, and it ends with a song with the names that she likes to name her children, but then builds to this erratic, chaotic mess of shouting and distortion, which is like very much like a 90s grunge-era band. But again, it harkens back to the part of me that really, really likes Wolf Alice, and it just ticks so many boxes for me, and it's that idea of box-ticking that I've mentioned previously on the podcast, in that there's quite a lot of stuff here that's on the podcast. There's quite a lot of stuff here on the album that's just doing a load of things right, and just kind of just hits a lot of things I really like in music. Bieber Doobie was primed for big things in 2020. Unfortunately, that thing that happened has kind of stalled a lot of people's momentum, including hers. But her worth ethic and the buzz surrounding her shows no stopping. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what's going to happen next for her, actually. So if the songs are on this level are really good, I can't wait to see what will happen in the next album cycle. So if you like your lo-fi 90s rock, then it's worth it, pun intended, to give Vacant Flowers a listen.